I'm Cyril Wong, and this is my reading of You Took Away All the Oceans and All the Room by Osip Mandelstam. You took away all the oceans and all the room. You gave me my shoe size in earth with bars around it. Where did it get you? Nowhere. You left me my lips, and they shape words, even in silence. My name is Cyril Wong, and this is my poem based on an Aesop's fable. Crow. How does one begin to drink the sky? By tasting its tears, of course, the crow realized. Yet why does it remain so full? A pitcher of blue without end.
For my wife, reading in bed. I know we're living through all the dark we can afford. Thank goodness, then, for this moment's light, and you holding the night at bay. A hint of frown, those focused hands, that open book. I'll match your inward quiet breath for breath. What else do we have but words and their absences to bind and unfasten the knotwork of the heart? To remind us how mutual and alone we are, how tiny and significant. Whatever it is you're reading now, my love, read on. Our lives depend on it. The Creel by Kathleen Jamie. The world began with a woman, shawl-happed, stooped under a creel, whose slow step you recognise from troubled dreams. You feel obliged to help bear her burden from hill or kelp-strewn shore, but she passes by unseeing, thurled to her private chore. It's not seabirds or peat she's carrying, not fleece nor the herring bright, but her fear that if ever she put it down, the world would go out like a light.
Hello, I'm Helen Ivory, and this is my poem on the underground. The Square of the Clockmaker. When the last train left, the tunnel rolled the train track back into its mouth and slept. Clocks unhitched themselves from the made-up world of timetables and opened wide their arms. And in the square of the clockmaker, a century of clocks turned their faces to the sun. Hello, I'm Helen Ivory, and here is a poem by William Carlos Williams. This is just to say, I've eaten the plums that were in the icebox, and which you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me. They were delicious, so sweet and so cold.
Bridal Vows by Ian Duhigg. I will be faithful to you, I do vow, but not until the seas have all run dry, etc. Although I mean it now, I'm not a prophet and I will not lie. To be your perfect wife, I could not swear. I'll love, yes, honour, maybe, won't obey, but will cooperate if you will care as much as you are seeming to today. I'll do my best to be your better half, but I don't have the patience of a saint, and at you, not with you, I'll sometimes laugh and snap too, though I'll try to show restraint. we might work out no blame if we do not. With all my heart, I think it's worth a shot. Harmonica by Michael Longley, read by Ian Duhigg. A Tommy drops his harmonica in no man's land. My dad, like old Anaximenes, breathes in and out through the holes and reeds and finds his melody. Our souls are air. They hold us together. Listen, a musical favourite lasts until the end of time. My dad is playing it. His breath contains the world. The wind is playing an orchestra of harmonicas.
Paula Meehan here, reading Not Weeding. Nettle, bramble, shepherd's purse, refugees from the building site that was once the backfield, my former sworn enemies, these emissaries of the wild, now cherished guests. Paula Meehan here in Dublin, recording some of the lyric of Ewan McCall's beautiful song, Sweet Thames Flow Softly. I met my girl at Woolwich Pier beneath a big crane standing, and oh, the love I felt for her, it passed all understanding. Took her sailing on the river, flow, sweet river flow. London town was mine to give her, sweet Thames flow softly. Made the Thames into a crown, flow, sweet river flow. Made a brooch of silver town, sweet Thames flow softly. Now, alas, the tide has changed, my love, she has gone from me, and winter's frost has touched my heart and put a blight upon me. Creeping fog is on the river, flow, sweet river, flow. Sun and moon and stars gone with her, sweet Thames flow softly. Swift the Thames runs to the sea, flow, sweet river flow, bearing ships and part of me, sweet Thames flow softly.
Two poems for the London Underground. One of my own and one of another poet. The first one is a poem I wrote a long time ago for my mother called Vesper for Helen Kirk Keyes. Next to the grapes to the side of the house, the mother with the disappearing bones showed me the flowers opening at dusk, perfuming the silence. See, they unfold the dark to make music with the moths. She stepped inside. Far off, the yellowing moon crocheted its starry nightgown into her shadow. And this poem is by Michael Jennings, an American poet, a fine lyrical poet. It's called River Time. The hills are green with summer, the lakes cobalt blue and glittering. Whatever we longed for in March is here already or forgotten. Your hair gleaming obsidian as always, despite a few white renegades. Your body stretches out like a great cat's or a landscape I never tire of crossing. When I kiss the small of your back, I hear the whisper of desert sands, the rush of young rivers. No one comes back. No one steps twice in the same body. Spring was sun on the daffodils and the time of the new wide sky, the heartbreaking golds of the giant willows. Marry me, marry me, shouted the cardinal in his tall tree, while the goldfinch giggled, I am nothing but light.
George Surtees, Trojan Horse, with an epigraph by William Dunbar. London, thou art the flower of cities all. New Troy, cried Dunbar. And so it was we entered as if by stealth, wandering the suburbs of her good pleasure, disorientated, less an invading army than dizzy tourists of our own helplessness, descented, tending to trip and stumble over curbs, our childish hands curled into childish fists, our very strangeness oddly understated. By the railway cuttings at Hendon, we sat down and thought how to weep when we remembered Zion. But quite what Zion was, we had forgotten. The air we breathed contained the trace of it. Fair was the soil, a particular shade of brown that brought it back. Meanwhile, the British Lion roared in a cinema, though we should profit from its power, though the seats smelled rotten. We stood in Trafalgar Square, completely covered in pigeons, but looking all too pleased to find such wholehearted acceptance. We were the boys of the awkward squad, growing at an angle. Occasionally, perhaps, one of us shivered in the sheer tide of her, in the vast mind of street maps it took an alien to untangle, as if she were not one, but several Troys. And sometimes now, I see us as we were, transported to the present, trying to keep warm inside, selling big issues to ourselves, sleeping in doorways even when in bed, the street maps we know dissolving in a blur. We're standing on an underground platform. We are under Troy, tunneling through her head, riding with our tickets, running with the wolves. William Shakespeare, Sonnet 73, That Time of Year Thou Mayst in Me Behold. That time of year thou mayst in me behold, when yellow leaves, or none, or few, do hang upon those boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs, where late the sweet bird sang. In me thou seest the twilight of such day, as after sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away, death's second self that seals up all in rest. In me thou seest the glowing of such fire that on the ashes of his youth doth lie, as a deathbed whereon it must expire, consumed with that which it was nourished by. This thou perceivest, which makes thy love more strong, to love that well, which thou must leave ere long. Wallace Stevens, Disillusionment of 10 o'clock. The houses are haunted by white nightgowns. None are green, or purple with green rings, or green with yellow rings, or yellow with blue rings. None of them are strange, with socks of lace and beaded cinctures. People are not going to dream of baboons and periwinkles. Only here and there, an old sailor, drunk and asleep in his boots, catches tigers in red weather. Sheena Pugh, Sometimes. Sometimes things don't go, after all, from bad to worse. Some years, muscadel faces down frost, green thrives, the crops don't fail. Sometimes a man aims high, and all goes well. A people sometimes will step back from war, elect an honest man, decide they care enough, that they can't leave some stranger poor. Some men, become what they were born for. Sometimes our best efforts do not go amiss. Sometimes we do as we meant to. The sun will sometimes melt a field of sorrow that seemed hard frozen. May it happen for you.
This is a poem written on the 150th anniversary of London Underground by myself, John Hegley. It is called Of Mice and Many. Here's to the gaps, the maps, and the elapse of 150 years since that first steaming monster hurled through its metropolitan minotaur world. Here's to all the billiard ball-bottom straps onto which I've hung, and here's to the police officer who, when I was illegally busking outside Westminster Station, approached me and said, "Do you know any Neil Young?" Sonnet 16 by William Shakespeare. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool. Though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come, love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved.
Carving by Imtiaz Dharkar. Others can carve out their space in tombs and pyramids. Our time cannot be trapped in cages, nor hope, nor laughter. We let the moment rise like birds and planes and angels to the sky. Eternity is this, your breath on the windowpane, living walls with shining eyes, the surprise of spires, uncompromising verticals, knowing we have been spared to lift our faces up for one more day into one more sunrise. A Red, Red Rose by Robert Burns. Oh, my love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Oh, my love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. So fair art thou, my bonny lass, so deep in love am I, and I will love thee still, my dear, till all the seas gang dry. Till all the seas gang dry, my dear, and the rocks melt with the sun, I will love thee still, my dear, while the sands o' life shall run. And fare thee weel, my only love, and fare thee weel a while, and I will come again, my love, though it were 10,000 mile.
He Wishes for the Cloths of Heaven by William Butler Yeats. Had I the heaven's embroidered cloths, inwrought with golden and silver light, the blue and the dim and the dark cloths of night and light and the half-light, I would spread the cloths under your feet. But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams. Still Life with Seapinks and High Tide by Maura Dooley. Thrift grows tenacious at the tide's reach. What is that reach when the water is rising, rising? Our melting, shifting, liquid world won't wait for manifesto or mandate. Each warning, a reckoning. Ice in our gin or vodka chirrups and squeaks, dissolving in the hot, still air of talking, talking.
Dreamer by Jean Binter Breeze. Round a rocky corner, by the sea, seat upon a driftwood, you can find she, gazing across the water, a stick in her hand, trying to trace a future in the sand. Rising by Jean Binta Breeze. Having some summers gone, dug out that old tree stump that darkened my garden. Having waited without planting, for it was impossible then to choose the growth. Having lost the dream, but not the art of healing. Having released the roots of pain into content, I now stir the skies. The London Breed by Benjamin Zephaniah. I love this great polluted place where pop stars come to live their dreams. Here ravers come for drum and bass and politicians plan their schemes. The music of the world is here. This city can play any song. They come to hear from everywhere. It is they that make this city strong. A world of food displayed on streets where all the world can come and dine on meals that end with bittersweets and cultures melt and intertwine. 200 languages give voice to 15,000 changing years, and all religions can rejoice with exiled souls and pioneers. From Colonization in Reverse by Louise Bennett. What a joyful news, Miss Mattie! I feel like my heart going burst. Jamaica people colonizing England in reverse. By the hundred, by the thousand, from country and from town, by the shipload, by the plane load, Jamaica is England bound. Them a pour out of Jamaica. Everybody future plan is to get a big time job and settle in the motherland. What a island, what a people. Man and woman, old and young, just a pack them bag and baggage and turn history upside down.
The Way to the World, Sunny Senavaratna. Oh, how they blew like vast sails in the breeze, my mother's wet sheets, pegged hard to the rope of her washing line. There was always hope of dry weather and no need for a please or thanks between us as we hauled them down. Whether to make the fold from right to left or left to right to tame the restless heft, my job to know. I won't call it a dance, but there were steps to learn and cues to read. The give and take of fabric passed like batons in a relay race. She was my due north, her right hand set west, mine tracing the east. We closed the distance, calmed the wayward weight, bringing order to the billowing world. He Wishes for the Cloths of Heaven, W.B. Yeats. Had I the heaven's embroidered cloths, enwrought with golden and silver light, the blue and the dim and the dark cloths of night and light and the half-light, I would spread the cloths under your feet. But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams.
Packing for America, My Father in Tabriz, 1960. He can't take his mother in the suitcase, the smell of Khoresh in the air, her spice box too tall to fit. Nor will it close when he folds her sajada into its corners. He can't bring the way she rose and blew out the candles at supper's end, rolled up the oilcloth, marked the laying out of beds, the beginning of night. He knows the slap of her sandals across the tiles will fade. He tosses photographs into the case, though not one shows her eyes. Instead, she covers her mouth with her hand as taut, looks away. He considers strapping the samovar to his back like a child's bag, a lifetime measured in tea from its belly. Finally, he takes her tulip tea glass, winds a chador around its body, leaves the gold rim peeking out like a mouth that might tell him where to go, what is coming next. Aunt Jennifer's Tigers by Adrian Rich. Aunt Jennifer's tigers prance across a screen, bright topaz denizens of a world of green. They do not fear the men beneath the tree. They pace in sleek, chivalric certainty. Aunt Jennifer's fingers, fluttering through her wool, find even the ivory needle hard to pull. The massive weight of Uncle's wedding band sits heavily upon Aunt Jennifer's hand. When Aunt is dead, her terrified hands will lie still ringed with ordeals she was mastered by. The tigers in the panel that she made will go on prancing, proud and unafraid.